God's Word. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and we're going to read through verse 26. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revealing, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Father in heaven, thank you for this chance to preach your word. May it bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. You may all be seated. An intro. The struggle between faith as a fruit of the Spirit and the flesh is detailed in the verses explaining the ongoing conflict, the Spirit, and the desires of the flesh. These passages should encourage the believer to walk in the Spirit and to have crucified the flesh. This spiritual fruit is not just a belief, but a firm persuasion and confidence that God is good, wise, and in control, leading to a dependable and unwavering life, even amidst trials. It is faith that is consistent and reliable, reflecting God's own faithfulness. Amen. The definition of faith as a fruit of the Spirit means a deep and steady trust, loyalty and trust worthiness in God, which the Holy Spirit cultivates in a behavior. So the aspects of faith as a fruit of the Spirit, and this is my first point, trust and persuasion. If you would all turn to Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
This verse links trust in the Lord and having your path straightened. Surrender is a key component of faith.
That's right.
If you would turn to Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he has trusted the Lord. Faith will increase when we trust in the Lord.
Amen.
And we're going to move on to Psalms 37:5. There's a lot of verses. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring to pass.
Amen.
This verse gives an assurance that committing to God and trusting him will lead to his actions. So now we're going to go to one that most Christians know, which is Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Just waiting for the pages to stop. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of this gift, and by it, he being dead yet speak. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
We're going to move on to my sub-point, which is obedience in action. And this is faith demonstrated through action. John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. This shows a connection in faith towards the love of Jesus with obedience to him, and is expressed through our actions. Now we're going to turn to 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifices, and to hearken than the fat of rams." This shows a life of obedience is more valuable to God than mere rituals. Now we're going to switch back over to the New Testament and Acts 5, 27 through 29. This has to do with the apostles and when they were put up in front of the Sanhedrin and the council. When they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." This demonstrates principle of obedience to God's will, even when it conflicts with human's authority, showing faith in action. We're going to go to my second sub-point, which is a dependence on God. We're going to go back to Galatians 5:22 through 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." In this context, the Greek word often translates faith can also mean faithfulness or trustworthiness, which directly relates a dependence on God. This faith is not self-generated effort, but a work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a dedicated to Christ. The staple got a little too close to the verse. So now we're going to go over to John 15, and we're going to read verse 4 through 5. So in this sub-point, there's going to be like three verses, and then I'll have a statement at the end. "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye expect ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." So now we're going to go over to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And yeah, I know I repeated this one, but there is an emphasis behind it. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit.
Amen.
These verses portray the dependence on God as a continuous state of trust and reliance, enabling by the Holy Spirit the work in the believer.
Amen.
So now to my second point, which is examples of faith. This is going to be a long passage, and it's Hebrews 11, 7 through 40. These men and women showed a lot of faith, and yet they didn't see God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commanded the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, the sojourn in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builders and makers is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promise. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the star of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but yet having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they... almost lost my place. That they...
Seek a country.
Thank you. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now that's referring basically back to Jesus. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he had been dying, blessed both sons of Joseph, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of the parents, of his parents, because they saw his, they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing. The wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Though through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assailed to do where to well, to do were drowned. By faith, when the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed. Not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of the Baraks and of Samson and Jephthaniah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in a fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds of and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens, caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, receiving not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that without us should not be made perfect. Amen. Finally, I'm going to go to my last point, the growth of faith as a fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to go to Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. This highlights the role of the scriptures and the hearing of the preaching of them. 2 Corinthians 5:7 mentions walking by faith, not by sight. Luke 17:5 records the apostles asking the Lord to increase their faith. And Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. In conclusion, I would like to leave you with two quotes. Faith is not a weakness. It's the strong stand you can take when you put God first. No government, no culture, no chaos can shake the foundation you're built on. That's Charlie Kirk. And finally, it is a poor faith which can only trust God when friends are true, the body full of health, and the business profitable. But that it is true faith which holds by the Lord's faithfulness when friends are gone, when the body is sick, when the spirit depressed, and the light of our Father's countenance is hidden. A faith which can say, in the direst trouble, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, is heaven-born faith. That's Charles Spurgeon.